Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. It's that time of year again. It's time to bring in one of my favorite race directors, Mr. James Huller. You ready to go for a little bitty run?
Oh, let's do it, bro. You know I'm always ready for a run. Let's get it.
I
Let's
know
get
you are, man. I know you are. I was thinking, you know, what if we start like somewhere in Sandbridge, run all the way down the beach to like Corolla, kind of catch North Carolina 12 there, run all the way down to the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, and then run back. What do you think?
Dude, that sounds amazing.
And it sounds fun. That sounds fun.
That's like something we ought to do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if only there was a race that, you know, you could sign up and do that, huh?
Something that captured that. Imagine that, dude. Imagine
Wow.
that.
I mean, it just can you picture if somebody actually created that, James?
I'll tell you, man, I got a name all picked out already. If you want to do something like that, we call it the Swami Shuffle.
Wow, yeah. That sounds good. Swami Shuffle 200. It's not really 200 though. So do we really want to lie to people?
Yes, absolutely.
This just sounds like the best intro ever to a
Dude,
podcast,
I'm,
man.
you're running 200, but you get 199, you hate me because you didn't get
Yeah.
enough. But if I
Yeah,
tell you,
but I mean, you get the bonus, man.
you're like, dude, I got more than I paid for. It's like pizza. You know, you order pizza, you know, you want a large or you want a medium, but you get a large. You're like, happy. I got more than I paid for. Hell, you
That's
pay for
right.
22. Hey, you got more than you paid for it, buddy.
Hey,
You're
I got 226 last year.
look at you, overachieve, overachieve.
Absolutely, absolutely. They may have been the little wandering out into the sand, trying to find a very private place on my way down to the lighthouse. And it may have had a little something to do with me talking Richard Gleave, who I'm not sure he's forgiven me, but he is running it again. You know, they hit the beach in that rainstorm. And, you know, then my very wise idea to let's go up on the road in Corova so we can get out of the wind, which did add a couple more miles. So, yeah.
Hey, more is always better, right? More is better.
Absolutely. Absolute bonus miles are beautiful. So
Heck yeah.
the 2025 edition of Swami Shuffle is coming up February 23rd. Jump off at 8 a.m. Are you getting excited yet?
Dude, I've been excited. I can't even tell you. Like, there's a window of time as I get closer to it that I get kind of anxious and nervous. It's like, do we have everything in place? Have we got everything taken care of? But this time of year right now, I mean, I go back and forth. I'm always excited. I'm excited. April Fool's Day, when we open up signups. Hey, fools, come sign up for this daggum thing. And I want to say we had 20 signed up within 24 hours.
Wow.
Sold out within 48. I don't know the exact numbers, man, but it was sold out faster than ever this year. So I'm excited from that day forward. But when I start getting close to Christmas is when it's like, okay, dude, I got like no time left to get stuff. So I do get a little bit anxious and wondering and making sure things are in place, but we are a step ahead this year in that Back Bay has already given the pencil thumbs up that our permit's good. As
Oh.
opposed to last year, we were 2 weeks out and I was still wondering if the permit's good. Right now, she said everything's good. Just I have the paperwork. We'll get it to you. So the theory is, you know, the 99% solution is we're set. So that piece. The biggest part of my puzzle is taken care of right now. It's just, you know, the little things, but yeah, man, I'm excited.
That's awesome. Are we still on for the no Back Bay between sunset and sunrise?
That is 30 minutes after sunset to 30 minutes before sunrise, I think is what
Okay.
she and we'll have exact times for that well before the date. You know, I could look them up right now and have it, but we just want to confirm with them, make sure that's the right date, the right times. But yeah, we're 30 minutes after sunset to 30 minutes before sunrise, and we've got a plan in place to make sure that we can honor that appropriately so we don't jeopardize our permits in the future. Because that's still a contention right now with us. We're still trying to work through that every year permitting, but it'll work out or it won't. We'll figure it out.
And on the, I mean, on that 30 minutes, is that like if you started in, can you get out, or is it if you're close to that 30 minutes, don't even start in?
So you have to be off of out of the wildlife area. So if you
Yeah, it's as soon
start
as it's that sign where it's False Cape State Park, leaving
false
False Cape, entering Back Bay. So
yep.
it's
So
exactly 3.5, 3.6, Well, actually, 4.2 miles from the finish line.
Yep. So it's basically 3.6 miles that you're within Back Bay.
Right.
You're not allowed to be within Back Bay between those hours.
Okay.
So when we go to enter it, it's a matter of understanding, okay, it's going to take me 2 hours to run this 3.5 miles. So if it's, if I can't be out of it before 30 minutes after sunset, then I can't, then I shouldn't enter it.
Right.
And,
So
so
you got to
it,
look at that 3.5 miles at the end of, 200 miles, and you've got to go, okay, let's just say I'm running 30-minute miles. It's going to take me
an hour and a
an hour
half.
and a half. So if I'm not, so if sunset is at 6:30 at night, I can't hit that beach after 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that sound, that sounds about the right way
There's time.
to approach it,
And
right?
we understand it. It's frustrating. We don't like it, but it's just one of those next little wrenches that you throw in a plan. Other races out there, Tar Heel, they used to run up and down here on the coast, Tar Heel Ultra. And it was a hard cut because you have to meet the ferries. There's two or
Right.
three, because the ferry on it, if you don't meet the ferry, you're just sitting there waiting.
Right.
It's not unprecedented, but it's not ideal. But it's just another thing to train for, work for, and plan for. It's like, hey,
Exactly.
here's another wrench, man. That's why we do it. That mind fuck that we get to say, hey, here we are. Let's play this
Yeah.
game. See how. Let's see what
And
happens.
that's part of the, I mean, that's part of the reason that you run a 200. You don't run a 200 because you want everything to be easy. Yeah.
No, no,
You run a 200 because you want to challenge yourself, and part of challenging yourself, quite frankly, it's not just physical, it's also the mental, and being able to logistically look at it and go, okay, this is what I can expect to be running per mile, because there ain't anybody running 10-minute miles at the end.
our math as directors, when we're sitting at the finish line waiting for somebody, is we're looking at that stretch. So when you leave the hardball and get on the
Rolling.
beach,
Yep. Yep.
you're looking at 20-ish miles
Yep.
with no support, nothing. And you're looking at that last hotel's 26 miles away. But what we're looking at that point from that hotel or from that beach, once we get that word, because as we tell you guys, when you hit the beach, let us know we're there. When you get to the Carolina, South Carolina, let us know you're there. You're at the border. Then when you get to False Cape, Back Bay, let us know you're there. Our number that we use, and to keep us honest, so we're there plenty early, is a 20-minute mile. I don't think
Right.
anybody's faster. Aaron Isles up front, maybe. But for the most part, we're looking at 20-minute miles. So when you say, hey, I'm at the border, I know you've got 4 miles to get home. Dude, I'm looking at an hour and a
Yeah.
half.
Yeah.
Get there. So yeah, I mean that's the thing. And we try to make sure the runners understand that when they start it. Look, dude, at the end, that's a brutal push. That's the hardest, I think. It's one of the hard parts of the race, but that part, once you leave the hardball, once you leave that ass hotel, and then you've got all that beach, man, 20 miles. Hey,
Yeah.
bring your
Yeah.
A game, your grit,
Yeah, and the mileage, for those who are wondering, because I'm a numbers geek. So the last hotel is exactly 35 and change miles from the finish line. And then the beach is exactly 21.8 miles from the finish line. So, you have to be able to do the math. And the Harris Teeter is 25.5 miles from the
Yeah, I was
finish
gonna
line. And
say
so the
right.
last place that you have to grab water and food is the Harris Teeter, and you got 25.5 miles. So, that's the you got to take that into effect. And on the way out, you also have to, you have to be very aware that you're 25 miles from your first aid. So plan accordingly.
Yes, sir. Yep.
It's always fun. I love the math of the race and everything. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a challenge. I am looking forward to I may actually have a crew this year, James. So
We'll
who
bring it
knows?
back.
Yeah, that'll be a total difference for me. So let's talk a little bit about, the structure of the race, because I mean, you've got people that have phenomenal crews, like, Aaron and Thomas, and some of the guys last year just had, phenomenal crews that were with them every inch of the way. And then you've got people that, Kim Drake, is one of my favorites, that, I mean, if it doesn't fit in her backpack, it doesn't go with her. I
Yeah, Kim
mean, she's
Page,
amazing.
Sally was out there, Hernandez, Mike Edwards, like very minimal equipment. Just hey, let's see what we got and go. Yeah.
With no support. I mean, those guys are phenomenal. John Price. I love watching John Price out there. I mean, he doesn't go fast, but man, he gets her done and he sleeps in the oddest places.
He does.
So,
Does.
yeah.
And John Price. So John Price this year is coming back for number four.
Yeah.
This is his fourth one, and Mike Edwards. Mike
It's
Edwards is
four.
coming back here. So we got two coming back for their fourth trip, and they're pretty minimalist. Like Mike doesn't move fast. He's very consistent. Very, he'll help everybody. Anybody that needs help, he's just. He's amazing. John just keeps plugging for being, I don't know, he's 853 years old or some trash. I mean, the
He
guy's.
has something 900 or something like that. I don't know. We'll have to clear it up with him. I know it's definitely over 700 years old. I'm just not quite sure exactly what number in there he falls, but yeah.
But they're both coming back for number four this year.
That's awesome. That's
And then
incredible.
you and Art are back for number three.
I know that trips me out.
Like you're. Great. Art did one, missed one, and came back for two, or did two, missed one, and came back. But actually, we got, two of you now, number three coming back, and two coming back from number four. But it's getting exciting.
It must be something about getting old. You come back and keep torturing yourself or something.
Right.
It's crazy. But there's some studs that are coming out this year. I'm kind of excited to see, what kind of numbers get laid down. Talk about some of the people that, I mean, we've got some returning guys like Thomas and Tyler and Michelle that are just, phenomenal, and Lisa Georges. Talk about some of the guys that are coming out here that are just some absolute, studs coming out.
So I love the studs. I mean, they're amazing, but I mean, studs are studs. I mean, everybody knows about them. The Lisa, just lays it down. She 6 days in a dome, I believe. She's done, 72 hours. She's done crazy things. Aaron Isles, he has the course record of 58 at 11. Michelle Gray has like 8 million. I guess actually her husband has more than her. Rick has a few more than she does, but they've got 700 milers and they're killing it. She has a female record of 63 hours and change. But I'm interested, honestly, in the other end of the spectrum, man. What was his name? Jamie Logano, I think he drove the bus for
For
Don
Don,
here.
yep.
He's coming out to do his first one. Like he's like, I'm in.
And he's
That's
never done an ultra before. So not,
yeah.
like he's not even done a marathon, dude. I'm so impressed.
So that's the ones I love that story more than I like. And I don't want to take nothing away from those studs. But they do it. They know what they're getting into. They're crushing it. But like Jamie, dude, he was just like he was out here last year, and he's just like, dude, I love this. I'm gonna do it. So here he is. He's coming out. And he's gonna knock
Well,
it
and
out.
David Solomon. David
Solomon.
Solomon has been out there. Steven Dents is the other one who's coming back for his third year, because David Solomon has been out there pacing and crewing Steven Dents both times Steven's done it, and David's coming out and doing it. I'm excited about that.
I want to see David going. He's got you said him on your podcast the other day.
Yep, just had him, huh?
Such a great story, that guy.
What a
I'm looking
beautiful spirit too, man. He's just got I love his spirit. And then we're finishing up podcast and he just casually says he's got muscular dystrophy, and I'm just like, my
dude,
jaw
really?
just dropped.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the dude, like you said, he doesn't go fast, but he just gets it done, and he's just got that spirit that says, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get there quick, but I'm not going to quit. And I love that. I'd say, yeah, I'm with you. I'm excited about the guys that are going to be at the tail end, and the guys and the gals that are going to be at the tail end. And I can't wait to come back out and see them finish.
Heck yeah, man.
So you've got the website all up and ready to go for fundraising starting up?
It is as best as we're gonna get, man.
All
Yeah, we
right.
got the going. We've got the UR links or whatever they're called, the little code things.
URL, yep. Or
There we go.
QR, QR, yep.
QRLs. We got those up there.
Yep.
We've got the QRL that we provide to the runners when you start. As you know, you get people asking what you're doing. You
Yep.
show them the URL, they can click on it, and it brings up our
Awesome.
website with the donation links,
Perfect.
kind of what we're doing, what we're trying to do, why we're out there. So yeah, I mean we're moving along. We're still talking to sponsors. We're still looking for donations from that side of the house. But everything's moving along.
That is awesome.
Pat from the real estate agency up there,
Yep.
he's still the intent is to still have the runner's house like we had last year, which
Oh,
was so
cool.
amazing. May not have the same house, but gonna
Right.
have the honey house down there
Down in
by half.
Salvo. Yeah.
She said she's in. I just got to reconfirm with her.
Awesome.
The port dude down there by Liberty.
Oh yeah. The guy with the food truck, right?
Yeah, he reached out to me, so he's gonna make sure he has up. His intent is to have like a little sit down section for you guys, tables and chairs.
Oh God, that would be awesome.
He said that he wants to make sure, so I got to reach out to him, just confirm, finalize with him. But he's gonna be set up there at the Liberty gas station,
Yeah,
taking
and we
care.
also got to talk about the muffins and scones
Oh yeah.
and Avon. Oh, my goodness gracious, those people were just, they're phenomenal people. And who did we ever find out who the lady was in Avon who was like giving people food and drinks?
No, I did not. I haven't been able to track her down.
Yeah. I mean, what a sweetheart, man. I don't even know where she lived or whatever, but I mean, it's like you're going down the road and she's like, "What can I get for you? I just want to be able to serve you guys. It's just such an honor what you're doing." I was just like, "Who are you?" And she's the one who told me Muffins and Scones was open and they had hot food, and that was my favorite moment of last year's race.
I love it, dude. That's
Yeah. So, yeah. But so yeah, muffins and scones is amazing, and I can't I'm glad to hear the food truck guy is gonna be out there again, because yeah, he had good food and that's great. We just need to find a food place like somewhere in that Kill Devil Hills to Nag's Head. When you go from the BP station to Jeanette's Pier, there's places to stop, but we gotta find somebody who's willing to just to be there when in the dark when we're going down. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I guess that'd be good, but
Yeah.
tough man
What
up,
the heck?
tough.
Suck it up and just get her done, right?
Suck it up, buttercup.
There you go, man. That is awesome. So do you have a goal set for fundraising this year?
So, it's funny because I just sat downstairs about 15 minutes ago before you called, and I mapped out a goal.
Okay.
The goal is simple. It's simple, but I don't think it's easy. Or maybe it's easy, but not simple. I don't know which way that goes. But my goal this year, and I've told you every year that we do it, I want 22,000.
Yep.
We have not made 22 any single year that we've done it. We haven't done it. We haven't
Okay.
made it. But I got a bigger, bolder goal. And it's easy because it's $1 a person.
Okay.
$1 per person. And that's all I want, Mike. $1 per person. So here's how it works. You provide $1. You donate $1. And you get two friends who will each donate $1.
Okay.
But for every friend, that friend gets two friends.
Okay.
If it's making sense. So one person gets $1, gets two friends.
Yep.
Those two friends, each friend gets $1, gets two friends who give $1. Each of those friends gets a friend who gives $1. Each of those friends gives a friend who gives $1.
Wow.
All I
That
want is
starts
$1.
adding up.
All I want is
Yeah.
$1 per person. And the
I
math
love
of it
it.
works out when you go down 21 steps. So if you think about it from like math of if I put $1 in my savings account today, but I double it every day this month. So I put $1 in today, I put $2 in tomorrow, I put $4 in the next day, I put $8 in the next day. At 21 days, I have $1,048,000, $1,048,000.
Wow.
So
Wow.
if we can get you to donate $1, and then you get two friends who would donate $1 and get two friends to donate $1.
Love it.
It's the compound effects. It's doubling every time somebody does it.
Yeah.
That 21 steps, we have over $1 million. So, man, I'm afraid to make a goal
Yeah.
of $1 million because I know I won't
Yeah,
reach it.
but make a step of a dollar a person. Yeah.
But damn it, give me $1 a person. But I don't just want that dollar from the person.
Yeah.
I want them to give me two
To
friends,
accumulate. Yeah. Yeah.
and every
I love
friend
it.
gets $1. Let's
Yeah.
roll and see what we can do. But
Yeah.
22 is always my goal, but when I looked at that, 22 days would give me 2,100,000.
That's awesome. Well,
That's
we
right now.
haven't hit
So
22,000 in any of the years that we've been fundraising, but where has the money gone? And tell us, do you have any stories of people that it's helped?
Yes, and no. So we have, as of the end of 24, so that'd be 4 years. We started in 21. So 21, 22, 23, 24, we have raised, find my number, I got it written down here. We've raised 45,000
Okay.
those 4 years. This year, since we started the fundraising 1 April, we're at just about 7,000. So we're looking just over 50,000 that we've raised through this race specifically, the
Okay.
Swami. What we did the first 2 years, 100% of our donations went to Mission 22. Mission 22 provides counseling. They provide equine therapy, physical fitness training, so jiu-jitsu, CrossFit, a plethora of stuff, all at no cost to our veterans. So, when we did that, that's 21, 22,000 we got over the first 2 years. Then we started our nonprofit, which is Awareness and Action. And when we started Awareness and Action, we give 50% of all of our earnings to Mission 22. Then the rest of it, we go elsewhere to help our veterans in need. So we had about a year ago, a veteran had a motorcycle accident, was paralyzed from the waist down. So we donated to him to help him get his house retrofitted, so that he could live his day-to-day life. A veteran here locally that runs a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym that was competing in the World Nationals, not World Nationals, Worlds for jiu-jitsu competition. So we sponsored him and another Marine veteran to compete in that competition in Las Vegas this year.
That's awesome.
Well, we also have picked up the tab for several veterans at local gyms here locally, CrossFit, martial arts type training, to try to get the veterans that outlet, that brotherhood,
Yeah.
that do
Yep.
things, and that's what we're always looking for, places there that we can put this, to help them stay on their feet and move forward.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is awesome. And it's important. I mean, because the whole mission of Swami Shuffle is not just so insane people can go out and run, 222 plus miles, but because we have to do something for our veterans. I mean, do you think the number is still 22 a day committing suicide?
It's roughly the same number, and it's really weird. It depends on which study you look at and who's funding the study and what they want to come out of it. But from what I'm looking at, and my research is probably a year old, I haven't done anything in the past 6 months to see exact numbers, but we're still looking at roughly that same number. 22 a day
Wow.
is the general consensus of what's committing suicide. Yeah, I've talked to you about it before. Like, when you break them numbers down across the board of what it represents is just phenomenal, because I say 22 a day, and some folks are like, 22 is not that many. 22 people in 1 day is not a big deal, but that's 8,000 a year. And if I look at, we all know why the Iraqi war was from 03 to 11. That's about 8 years. We lost 4,500 service members to combat-related deaths.
And we're losing 8,000 a year to
Year
suicide.
to suicide, but we lost 4,500 over the course of 8 years. Afghanistan, same thing. Afghanistan was longer, it's 13 years. We lost 2,400. So find those two, a combination of those two wars that you're
So
looking at from
we've
01 to
lost
04.
more in 1 year to suicides than we lost combined from 2001 to 2000 and was it
14.
21 when we finally got out of both?
2014 is the
Okay.
end really research. But yeah, so we lost 7,000
Wow.
to combat operations during that time. We lose
And we
8,000
lose 8,000 a year.
to suicide.
Wow. Well, and the biggest thing is, I mean, you think about our veterans who are taking their lives. They may not have a physical wound. They're just trying to deal with everyday life in some place where, they're coming back from seeing things that nobody should ever have to see, and they're struggling to adjust. And nobody knows about it because a lot of them are going back to these little dinky towns that are in the middle of nowhere, and, they don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's 100% correct. And I talk about it a lot with veterans that I meet and people that are interested in it, is that, like, when I diagnose you with a broken arm, I see the broken arm. Like, you go to a doctor, you physically see it. You have a dislocated shoulder. You have a broken leg. You rolled your ankle. There's a torn tendon. That's a physical thing you can physically see. But when you're dealing with the veterans and the PTSD, the TBIs, that's not a physical wound. I can't see that. Like when I'm
Yeah.
talking to you, I don't see it. So how do we diagnose it? How do we, and diagnose probably ain't the right word, but how do we figure that out?
Yeah. How do we identify it and then make
And
it so that it's socially acceptable that they get the assistance that they need?
then the other side is like when you look at like the type of people that serve and are doing the things we do. So I'm in a group of four, or just me and you. You and me are buddies that are training for this operation. If I've got to go get counseling or I've got to go get help for something, but we have a training evolution schedule that's going to help us in this deployment, which one is more important to me?
Yeah.
Because now I feel my love and my support for you. I can't go do this other thing for me, so I'm going to try to be there for you. And it ends up snowballing because you're not getting the things you need. And part of it's internal, because I don't want to go take care of me because I got to take care of you. You're my boy. I got to take care of you first. And it's what we do. And then sometimes it's the leadership and the way we, and I'm guilty of it as a senior leader in Marine Corps, is you emphasize be there for your boys, and we don't emphasize take care of yourself first. I think it's a double-headed sword. It's hard to fight it. And it's easier now that I've been out for 10 years to look back and say, these are things I did wrong, and these I can see vice when you're in the middle of it trying to do it.
And it's very true that you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of somebody else. And I'll give you a relatable story. I crew a lot of people in ultra marathons, and I love crewing them. I love pacing and everything. But I tell people that if you're going to step up and crew for somebody, you've got to commit to taking care of yourself first. Because if you don't take care of your rest, your food, your needs, if you need to go take a 4 mile run, just to mentally get yourself sorted out from the stress of taking care of a runner, go do it, because you've got to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be taking care of your runner very well as a crew member. So,
Absolutely. I tell my clients that all the time. Taking care of you is taking care of them. If you
And
yourself.
somehow we've got to get that message out there into the military and into the ones who are stepping out of the military that it is okay to take care of yourself.
It's an easy thing to say. As I'm sitting here today, I can look back and see where I didn't do it right. But I don't know how I make myself do it right today, if that makes sense. It's
No, it totally makes sense. It's reprogramming your brain, and I don't know, especially males, we're not very good at making that adjustment when it comes to taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of others better. And I don't have the answer because I'm not that big of a genius, but I do know that we need to figure something out.
Hell yeah.
I love this conversation we just had, because I love this race. This is this, people around me know that I talk about Swami Shuffle all the time. I love Swami Shuffle. This is probably one of the most important things that I do every year. And it's not because I think that I'm going to be, up on a podium or anything like that. It's because I love putting myself to the test, but being around other human beings who are doing the same thing. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Don Knotts is going to carry the American flag all the way down to Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and all the way back.
Yes, I heard that, dude. That's badass. I love it.
And when you know Don Knotts' story about where he came from as a veteran and where the difficulty that he's overcome and is overcoming on a daily basis, man, I am so cheering for him. It is unbelievable. That's what I love about Swami Shuffle, is it gives people an opportunity to like a Jamie Logano, to go out there and go, okay, I've never run one of these crazy things before, but you know what? I'm gonna put myself to the test and go out there and do it, because there's brothers and sisters out there that are doing it too. And I love that. So. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So, what should people be getting ready as they, logistically, physically, mentally, as the runners are getting ready for Swami Shuffle and the crews are getting ready for Swami Shuffle? What should they look forward to and get ready for?
So as we're preparing right now, it's late December, preparing for a late February run on a Swami Shuffle. The biggest thing I think the runners need to get ready is grit. Get the grit ready. Be ready. As I talk about, you've heard it now a couple of times at the beginning of the race, man. You're going to have the lowest of lows. It could always be worse, but it's not right now. So just enjoy it. So get that grit ready because it's going to suck. Be prepared for any weather extremes. And I don't want you to pack 800 pounds of clothes, but we've had weather everywhere from, I think, 34 is the lowest temperature that I know of, 34 in rain to
Yep.
start the race. And we've been up in the mid to upper 60s, might even been in the low 70s.
It was up high 60s, low 70s last year when we were getting off the beach.
So be prepared for any weather extreme. I mean, you're not going to have, Alaska, snow, and you're not going to have Utah or,
But
what
you'll
is
get wind, you'll get rain.
those,
You're gonna get wet. I mean, yeah.
rain. And when you add wind and rain, like I can run in wind or I can run in rain. I don't like them together.
Yeah.
So as a runner preparing, be prepared for the weather. Anywhere from, I'd say if you're prepared for mid 20s to low 70s, you're good. Straight sun to straight rain, you're good. So it's a pretty wide open thing to experience, but and then grit, just be ready to push through shit that you don't expect.
Exactly.
We call it unsupported, but we're there for you. But we're also out there not coddling. Like I'm not going to beat you
That's
every
right.
mile, hand you food. It's just but yeah, just be ready for the unexpected for your crews, because you mentioned crews.
Yep.
My advice to the crews is, man, you're better off running it than crewing it. If you're a crew, my recommendation is tell them, no, I'm not going to crew you, dude. You got it on your own. Go and support it and don't
Yep.
go.
Yep.
Because I say that tongue in cheek because crewing is amazing.
Yeah.
But I feel like this race, I work harder as a director just checking on runners, and I'm not even crewing anybody, than I do running 100 milers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's brutal the pace that they do. So to also ask the runners, just remember your crew
Yeah.
when you're out. Try not to be too demanding because you're ready, you're doing it. But crewing is brutal. So
It is
if
hard,
ever
and
crew.
this one's really hard. I mean, this is not a, hey, we're just gonna be hanging out on the Outer Banks. No, this is a hard race to crew even. The
Absolutely.
logistics of crewing is not easy because you got to pay attention to what's open and when.
And everybody counts on that Liberty gas station, but it's got a set timeline. I don't remember the hours offhand. We'll
10
have
to
them,
6.
and I think, but it's a set timeline, dude. And it's like
Yeah.
if you don't, dude,
And the
you're headed.
grill cuts off at 1:15 and they do not turn it back on. So if you get there at 1:20 and you're expecting them to cook you a nice grilled cheese sandwich, tough luck. Ain't happening.
But I love that place. Such a sweet
Yeah,
place.
it is. Everybody there is just amazing. They'll do anything for you. Last year I got there and it was raining a little bit, and the guy's like, "Don't go back outside. Just sit in here for a couple minutes. You can just sit over there." So,
We
yeah, they
had
just made me a little place.
year before last, I had a call from a runner. He was on the bridge coming in and said he was dropping. And me being the nice guy that I am, was like, okay, I'll see you at the gas station. He's like, but I'm on the bridge. I was like, yep, see you at the gas station.
Yep.
So we went to the gas station and we got to talking to the lady there. And they were getting ready to close. They're like within 5 minutes of closing. And she's like, oh, you got the runners coming. And I said, yes, ma'am, we do. She said, all right, we'll leave the doors open. We'll wait.
Wow.
So waited for him to get there. So they stayed open probably 30 to 45 minutes. The grill wasn't on because it was already cleaned up and whatever, but the store stayed open
Yep.
for the next two to three runners because there was another one or two in front of him. It was just him that I knew of. And she's like, no, we'll wait. We're here.
That's
So
awesome.
they'll bend over backwards. Most of that place out there. It's such an amazing to do races. And a matter of fact, we like it so much. We've got one that we're talking about. And a second one that we're kind of flipping a coin on that we may start looking at. We may have two more races offered out over here.
Oh,
I don't
cool.
know. One
Cool. I'm interested.
Josh retires in a year. I think late next year he retires. And he comes back here to the East Coast, and we can start running this thing a little bit more properly, I guess you'd say. But we've got three more races right now, kind of in a hopper. Two are in the Outer Banks, one's right here in my local neighborhood. But
Okay.
looking at a couple more to get out there. They're going to be.
Are we going to do my idea of going all the way down to the bottom of Hatter of Ocracoke?
Bigger.
Really?
Bigger.
Sweet.
I can't share too much information yet because there's just a lot of investigating, inquiries, talking, looking. But yeah, I will say that there's nine lighthouses to my understanding on the Outer Banks.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? There are nine.
There's to my understanding there's nine on the Outer Banks. I'll make that statement. Last year when we didn't let it out to y'all, but we thought we might have to cancel the Swami.
Right.
We had a backup plan, which was going to be offered. That's still on the table for us. We like it, as well as we have talked about one here in this little town of Richlands, North Carolina. That's going to be pretty interesting if I can make it happen. But
Okay.
right now we got three in the hopper. We're looking at it. Just
Sweet.
gotta wait to see once he gets back from once he gets over to Hawaii, and we can start doing a little bit more face-to-face planning.
Awesome. That's exciting. That is exciting. How
Yeah,
is Josh, your cohort, been?
he's doing good, man. I mean, he had a motorcycle accident about a year ago, broke some ribs, had to get out of running, so he's been laid up for a little bit and then got back into it. But he's doing good. He's shit.
Good.
He's getting tired, and kids are doing good. Family's doing good. Fixing to come back east. And yeah, I mean, he's doing great.
Awesome. And is his awesome mom going to be back out again this year?
To my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Last I spoke to her, that's the plan. I mean, it's still a few months out, but yeah,
She's so sweet.
Miss will be the new. She is amazing. That lady
Yeah.
is 100%. Yeah.
That'll be fun. That's awesome.
Yep.
That is awesome. Well, dude, any last words for both people that are thinking on the fence about running Swami Shuffle, have gone, oh, sounds so interesting, but they won't pull the plug. Sounds like.
So yeah, I mean, if you're on the fence, dude, I mean, the 2025 one is full, and we've got I've got eight on the wait list right now, so it's gonna be.
Wow.
I expect one or two maybe to drop, but maybe not much more than that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've got 15 returning runners that have done it previously, 15 finishers coming back, and I've got one DNF coming back.
Yep.
So 15 returners. I don't know how many more. If you're on the way, if you're on the fence to pull the trigger this year, pull it and see what happens. But you're starting at number nine.
Yeah,
But jump
to
fast next
be
year.
ready to sign up April 1st.
April Fool's Day, get on it. Let's
Yeah.
go. Last minute words, man. I don't know, man. You give $1 and give me two friends who each give $1 and a friend each, or two friends each. You give $1. Two friends who each give $1 and two friends. And let's see what this thing grows to.
I would love to see it. That'd be awesome. Let's
As
set the bar high, man.
we try to help people, man, remember I'm one, but with
Yes.
you I'm two.
Yep.
And with you, we become four. It jumps.
It gets
So
good. Gets good.
yeah, man.
James, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Mike, for having us. Thank you for bringing us out and letting us talk about what we do, man.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.